Well, you know, this two-state solution wasn't always being discussed, because before there was before the solution, the problem had to get started in the first place. So, you know, when I was born, right around the time the State of Israel was being created, I was born into a Zionist household where at the end of the Passover Seders, we all got up and sang Hatikvah, the Israeli national anthem, and grandparents told us that it changed in 1948 when the State of Israel was created. And then my revelations came when I was in college, in law school, and I represented, as you know, an international student organization at the UN. So off I go to Cairo shortly after the 1973 war, and that's when I started learning new things, and my perspective began to change. But the two-state solution that we're talking about and that the whole world is still talking about, how did this conflict get started in the first place? When you were growing up as a Palestinian in a refugee camp, what were you told, and how did this whole thing begin to form in your own mind?
Oh, absolutely, Mark. You know, as you know, I was born in a refugee camp, in the Heshe refugee camp near Bethlehem. And as I was growing up, I do remember that I was surrounded with hardship, with obstacles, with deprivation all the time. Life in the refugee camp was so cruel in both summer and winter for us as children. My memory is rife with those scenes of our one-room house in the camp during the winter, where the rain would constantly knock at the tin roof that we had, and where the room would be full of puddles of water. We could neither sleep nor do anything whatsoever. So you know, we would wonder, and we would express sighs, and we would express frustration, even as children, and our parents would react, and they would say, well, that's not how life was before we were forced out of Zakaria is the hometown of my parents, which they were driven out by force in 1948. So then we would start asking them about life in Zakaria, and we would develop, you know, some mystique, some romantic feeling towards Zakaria. At any rate, and then as I was growing further, I started digging into what happened, you know, in 1948 and before that under the British mandate.
But before the digging, Hisham, so we have this in perspective for everyone. You were born in what year?
I was born on January 1st, 1963, just a couple, you know, four years before the so-called Six-Day War.
Exactly. So at that time, West Bank was part of Jordan.
It was part of Jordan.
And Zakaria was in across the border in Israel, so nobody could go to visit there.
For quite many years, you know, we couldn't. The earliest, I think, we were able to go there, and thanks for asking, was in the early 70s. That is, certainly after the 67 war, and things calmed down a little bit, and of course you had to obtain a special permit. And I remember my grandfather on my mother's side, when he visited, I remember him very well, a very dignified man. He, I have really fond memories of him. He used to come and pick up with my brother from the school for the band, like every, you know, Thursday at the end of the week to spend the weekend at home. Anyway, so in the early 70s, you know, we managed to go to Zakaria, and my grandfather went to Zakaria. And this is what happened, and this is real. You know, the moment he got there, he started looking at the sites, at the destroyed, you know, houses, at his destroyed house, at his destroyed property. He fell on the ground. he was fully paralyzed from the waist down. And we picked him up. I did not. I was a little child. You know, my parents and others and his sons. And took him to the doctor and to no avail. A few months later, he died. And then, you know, afterwards, I started knowing that this happened also with several other elderly patients. So,
now, Hisham, that's the memory you have of your grandfather, and I have the memory of a grandfather with a beard, wearing a black coat. He and my grandmother spoke only Yiddish. They never spoke English. And the time I would see them mostly was sitting next to them, sitting next to my grandfather in the synagogue. My grandmother would have to be upstairs in the women's section. So you have that memory of your grandfather, and I have that memory of mine. We've never really talked about it before. And now I realize